Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Mike Schaefer.
Mike Schaefer.
My album. Who is Mike
Schaefer?
My album. Who is Mike
Schaefer?
Mike Schaefer, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
Man, all of us media people look so dumb right now. I've used Colt now twice on your show.
You got one more and you're out, all right? Mike Schaefer's my guest, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
Gentlemen, I think you're going to be a little disappointed with my lack of great basketball
knowledge. Come on, man. I paid my $10. I want to see the 3-4. I want to see the Schoenberg in the middle of that line.
Mike Schaefer, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
If you had to start a team and you could get peak era Hershey Hawkins or peak era LeBron James, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Thirsty Hawkins.
Right. Mike Schaefer, Huskers Illustrated, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, Nick.
Mike Schaefer, Huskers 24/7 Sports. Okay, first of all, have you finished Thrones?
Yes.
Okay, what I want to do is usually we start with Thrones. I want to end with Thrones because I realize that some people may turn, like if they don't want to get spoiled, they turn off the interview and they may not come back by the time we start hitting on football stuff. So let's do football first, then Thrones. You good with that?
That sounds great to me.
Let's talk about the big news over the weekend. Is it official that Mills got the necessary GPA and he'll be arriving soon?
I don't have anything official on that. What I do have is that, I had heard early in the process when the doubt first came that Nebraska felt good. I had heard well before that that Nebraska felt good about all of their signing class, and that obviously would have included Mills. And they clearly felt good in January when they knew exactly what he needed before, those classes to let him sign. So I kind of, and I don't know if it was on this show or with Gary and Damon, I kind of basically said, I think it's ridiculous how often we really get all worked up about these things because they have a way of sorting themselves out. The
sure.
people that seem to know the most and care the most have been pretty calm about it the whole time. So I think that, Mills will be a part of Nebraska's program. I expect, based on, other reports and what I've heard myself, that it could be, as soon as this week.
Give me the – okay, so let's assume Mills and Washington are on the team. Give me your top four running backs in order, depth chart to you.
In order probably goes Washington, Mills, which, really, you could flip either one of those.
Sure.
And then I'd say Wyatt Mazur, Ramir Johnson.
Okay.
Something like that.
Tell me about Ramir Johnson, because I feel like I don't have a good sense of, Wyatt Mazur is Mr. Solid, like, what you're getting with him. But what kind of runner, what kind of player is Ramir Johnson?
He's a big play guy. I mean, this is someone that got his real shot at a really good school at Bergen Catholic as a senior. He ran for 400 yards in part-time duty as a running back and was a kick returner, cornerback, wide receiver, all of those things. Nebraska fell in love with him last winter, and then they offered him right away. They worked with him right away. They got him out in March of last year, and he committed in May and just stuck with it and then blew up, had a huge senior year, ran for, I think something like 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns for a really good school out in New Jersey. And he's a fast guy. He's a track guy. He's got the track times that Nebraska covets. When he gets out in the space, he's got great straight line speed. He can also make people miss. He's not Wandale Robinson in that he's juking guys out in a phone booth.
Right.
But he's got the ability to make people miss and get away from, would-be tacklers pretty easily. So he's certainly someone I expect will not be redshirting this year. I think he's going to earn playing time. They're going to utilize him. He's got a skill set that they really like. He's a quiet kid. He's not going to talk about himself a lot, but he's just someone that, seems to excel, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's track, whether it's football, and everything he does. And I think that Nebraska's pretty intrigued about how they can use him on the field at the same time as, Maurice Washington or Dedrick Mills in that kind of duck R position. So that's kind of why he stands out to me, because he might be sort of the real first duck R running back Nebraska's went out and got.
Mike Schaefer's my guest, Huskers 24/7 Sports. We're getting some of these preview magazines starting to hit the shelves, and We had two this weekend, Athlon being one of them, picking Nebraska to win the West. When you see that, like, how does that land to you? You comfortable with it? You feel good about it? You go, oh, that seems like a lot. Like, how do you feel about Nebraska being pegged to win the West by some of these preview magazines?
So I have three trains of thought. The first one is initially, well, people expect the jump from Scott Frost to kind of happen with UCF. It wouldn't be the same thing because nobody expects Nebraska to go undefeated, but they like this quarterback in his second year. They like Nebraska to improve, and they trust Scott Frost. That's the first train of thought. Second one is generally people underrate the rest of the Big Ten West. I have a tough time, you know, really imagining Nebraska winning the West until they beat Iowa and Wisconsin. They haven't done that in a while. And I know that it's fun to discuss about what this could be, but at some point, you know, Nebraska has to go and win those games in order to win the West. I mean, they didn't beat Purdue, Northwestern, Iowa, or Wisconsin last year.
Right.
And all of those teams are going to be right there this year. Northwestern, who won the division last year, is maybe the one that I feel least confident in, you know, this year. And then Minnesota, who Nebraska did beat, is going to be pretty good in their own right. And then that third train of thought is sometimes you just need a team that looks different than what everybody else is doing, except somehow Nebraska went from this, like, dark horse to, I feel like, it's a pretty common pick.
Right. Yeah, if you had to, like, do you feel like, is there a team, you know, it's funny that, like, Northwestern, and I know they lose Thorson, but, like, Northwestern, do you feel like they deserve more respect? Or, like, it's kind of a hard top four or five teams to handicap in that division.
Yeah, because I think any of them can win it. I mean, I really think that, you know, any outside of Illinois, I think nobody would surprise me if they won the Big Ten West in 2019. I think Northwestern has a hard road because I don't know what Hunter Johnson is going to give them exactly. Purdue, I've got question marks because I don't like Elijah Sindelar nearly as much as I did David Blau.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Minnesota, the question mark, is their quarterback play going to be consistent enough, and was their defensive progression when they fired their defensive coordinator real? But otherwise, I think that might be one of the hardest teams to tell in the Big Ten West. And then Iowa and Wisconsin, you kind of know what you're going to get. They are what they are. The difference with Wisconsin is I think they got a major quarterback upgrade, and the kid's never played a game before.
Right.
So to me, I would probably still put Wisconsin towards the top of that list. And then I would work from there with, you know, some version of Purdue, Nebraska, Minnesota, and then Iowa and Northwestern after that. So it's tough. I mean, good luck, you know, feeling really good about any of those teams this year. And I think that's why you're looking at an 8-4, 9-3 Big Ten West winner.
It's amazing how much I feel like the West has shifted. Like, it's a lot of good coaches in the West. And, like, you know, if when Nebraska first, you know, the divisions got slotted, everybody's like, oh boy, Nebraska got a break. And while they still are on the easier of the two sides, like, that doesn't mean that the West is easy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I think that, you know, kind of the poking the fun of the West, I think those days might be coming towards an end if Nebraska makes the move that it's capable of, if Wisconsin continues to play high-level football, and I think Graham Mertz is going to be a key to that with what Paul Chryst is doing over there. Iowa is Iowa, and they've beaten Ohio State, and they've given Penn State a run for their money, and they've beaten Michigan. I mean, so they clearly can go toe-to-toe with the East in an any game odd setting. And then, you know, Northwestern can do that as well. Minnesota, what, they almost beat Ohio State last year. They played tough in some of those games. Purdue killed Ohio State. So it's just and you look, Jim Harbaugh, James Franklin, Mark Antonio might retire. Some of the star power of the East is gone without Urban Meyer there. I mean, I really think we probably haven't discussed enough how big of a hole it has created in the Big Ten now that Urban Meyer is no longer the coach
right.
at Ohio State.
Right. It's like the least discussed thing to me. Like, it's crazy. Okay, real quick, because we got to get into let's talk a little Thrones. So, spoiler alert, if you've not watched the final episode, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Thank you for that. I've been getting killed.
Have you been getting, really?
Man.
Okay. The King Bran, I guess, your reaction to that?
The whole scene where, first of all, your prisoner is then just treated like the, you know, Thomas Jefferson where he's just giving this speech to the Congress in Philadelphia as they're trying to decide if they want to move from the Continental Congress to a different type of government. It makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever that this guy in Bran the Broken, who shows up 25 minutes ago, is now going to be your ruler and everybody's okay with it but Sansa, which doesn't even make sense because it's her own brother, and you would think the North would be fine with a Stark being a ruler. But, like, none of that made any sense to me. It was just kind of a means to the end of, well, here's how Bran's going to be the ruler. This is what we came up with. This is what we got. I didn't really get it. You know, I can accept it. I wasn't mad at the end of last night's episode. I just thought it was a continuation of what, again, has basically been two straight seasons of kind of subpar television that
right.
set by Game of Thrones. I mean, there's a standard that they had set early in that show, and I don't think outside of a few moments every now and then have they come anywhere close to that. But
I just don't. Yeah, like,
it was a weird deal, but it's done now.
I just don't feel like the show ever, like the writers ever did a good enough job of explaining exactly what Bran was and wasn't capable of. Like, could he? And then, like, I also feel like they didn't establish. I feel like they didn't do anything to establish whether or not he'd be a good leader either. And then,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's,
who has he led?
Yeah, like, who has he ever? What leadership decision has he ever really made?
I mean, it's just it's a guy that's basically been in a wheelchair and has a little bit of plot armor with him that can maybe see the future, but can't really see the future, but can take over individuals with his mind. But we don't really know because they didn't really invest in that storyline after
right,
a while.
Right.
But now he's going to be the king. I mean, I will say this, it set up a moment that I laughed at very hard when they had that small council meeting and they're having that discussion at the very end about the brothels versus the ship.
Yeah, right.
I'd watch like a webisode episode of just their small council meetings because I think it'd be funny because the characters involved in that are all ones that I really like. But I mean, I don't know if it was worth 7 years to get to that point, but, and then even the big, you know, whoa moment of Jon Snow killing Dany.
Fell flat to me.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it should have been the most. It should have been potentially one of the three or four most emotional scenes in the show, and it really didn't do anything for me.
Right. You didn't feel shocked because it kind of felt anticlimactic.
Yep.
And then you have the whole Drogon thing where he burns down the throne.
Right.
Because apparently dragons have the perception to understand that power corrupts all, and they can have the ability to then, you know, they're going to take away the symbol of power using their fire,
like,
which
what?
Is its own symbol in itself.
What?
But dragons are very smart. We've underestimated them for
apparently.
Years.
Apparently. Oh, man, is that bad.
Again, I mean, it was a very good TV show. I never loved it seemingly as much as everybody else did. I enjoyed it. I look forward to it. I think if there's a lesson here, it's that, you know, when we watch these things as a collective, we react to it as a collective, but individually, what Game of Thrones means to me is different than it is to you, than everybody else. And we get all these really dumb arguments.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're entertained. I mean,
sure.
For the most part, even if you were upset for the last two seasons, you were still entertained.
You're still locked in.
Yep,
you were still locked in. I mean, there's something to be said for that. There's no question about it. There's no question about that. Shafe, good stuff as always, my man. We will catch up 1 week from today, my friend.
We're going to have to find a new TV show.
Yes.
Just throw in these recaps that people will get mad and message you about how they don't watch the show and they just want more Nebraska
George
football.
George is shaking his head. I love it. I know. I love it. We'll put our thinking caps on and figure it out, all right?
All right. Sounds good.
See you, Shafe.
Yeah.
Mike Schaefer, dropping knowledge. Yeah. I mean, I jokingly said there should be a I'll explain how there should be like an award given into sports with Game of Thrones. I'll explain that when we come back.